Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hello, welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. I'm really excited today because I have my good friend Heather Sellers here with me, and we know each other from yoga. She started as a student coming to my classes, eventually did our teacher training, and now we work together, and mm-hmm. She's awesome. I love you. You're amazing. Oh, you're here. Thanks. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. This is fun.
Yay. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm a little nervous, but I'm great.
That's how I feel all the time.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do today?
I worked. I was just kind of telling you before we aired that I'm taking a little bit more call right now. So I work at the hospital. We can talk about it in a minute. But yeah, so I wasn't actually, I don't think, supposed to work today, but had to. Anyhow, I got to leave a little bit early, which was nice because it helped me kind of prepare
myself
for this.
Okay, so what do you do?
So I am a nurse and I work just right here at St. Luke's. So this is very lovely, just commute wise. So I work in open heart surgery, open heart and vascular surgery. Yeah. So I've been trying to like think about how to say this. It's like kind of a funny job, or it's not a funny job. Obviously, this job exists everywhere. But I started working in the operating room, I think, when I was like 20. You know, Whoa. It's like you need a job for college and mm-hmm. paying bills, and I started working.
What, at 20 years old?
I mean, like, well, actually, I think I started in the kitchen, and then you just kind of slowly work your way into like weird roles. And I started working with the instruments and stuff, and I got into the OR area, and like I was in this hospital in Oregon, and those like the instrument position quickly turned into like more of a staff organization position, which then turned into this anesthesia position. It's just like, you know, you just kind of move into these jobs. And so anyhow, I've been in and around the OR environment for almost 14 or 15 years. I got my RN a while ago and left and went to the prison and worked in the prison for a while and St. Al's, and that was fine.
What did you like about working in a prison?
It was something I would never have done. Like, I remember walking my very first day, walking up to like the maximum security gates and just thinking like, this is not a place I would ever visit. You know what I mean? Like, as a human, like, I don't know, like, obviously people visit prisons, but it just was not like, it was so outside my comfort zone to go there. It was so terrifying to see like officers and these huge gates and the big, like the rebar, whatever that's called.
And how old were you when you,
this was just like 2015. So I was, oh God.
So you're in your 20s.
29, 30. I can't remember now.
So you're a grown up.
I was a grown up. Yeah, totally. Grown up. Walking into this all male maximum security prison. Like, I'm going to be a nurse here. And it was awesome. It made me feel, this is so silly, but it made me kind of feel like a badass. I was like, yeah, I can handle this population that's rough, and I can give a lot of compassion for people that need compassion, but I can also have the firm hand for people that need firm hands. Mm-hmm. I can,
Like, what's your day-to-day as a nurse in a maximum
security prison?
Yeah.
It Just like anything, it gets monotonous. It could
like get, a school nurse, like,
yeah, like, Band-Aids. Yeah, you've got a guy that needs, you know, some kind of attention because his knee hurts, or somebody that wants some Tylenol because they have a headache, or whatever. It's like,
they don't have like ibuprofen in their
In their cells. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like some of them actually, if they're more trusted, they could, but then there are heavier meds than that. Obviously if they have a more, progressed disease process and they require, more intense medications, then we have to administer them because they are such amazing chemists. They can like crush them down into these little powders and they make like, they'll like boil it and like somehow inject it into their eyeballs or whatever. What? I mean, not like that, but we would have guys that would crush it and they would, they could put it in like their foods or whatever, or they would inhale it in some way and they would get high. And so you have to be thoughtful about how you're administering these meds. Or, you know, we would do, for everybody that you give a medication to, you have to do a mouth check. And so they take their pills or whatever and they naturally just do a mouth check because they're so used to it. And they open their mouth and they lift their tongue and you look in their cheeks and whatever, make sure they actually swallow it. And it's funny because then when I left and I come back to the hospitals, I'm asking like, a 90-year-old woman, like, mouth check.
She's like, what?
She's like, what? But it was fun. I remember my first week. It was like one of my first days there, and they do these lockdowns, like if an inmate is being inappropriate in some way, like they're covering the window so you can't see into their cell, or they're refusing some kind of service, or they have to have their cells searched, maybe once a week or something. I can't remember all the things, but if they're refusing to cooperate in some way, they are giving a lot of opportunities to cooperate, but if they're just stubborn, they will go in with a team and physically take them out of the cell.
Oh.
And nurses always have to respond because you are the one to see if staff or inmate are injured.
Okay.
And I just remember my like first day or two there, and they're like, okay, A team response to B block or whatever. They like this big overhead system happens, or it's in our walkie-talkies things that we use. And I'm like, what is happening? And like these, I'm like following these like six like huge dudes that are all dressed in like SWAT attire and like walking down the hall, and I'm just like behind them, like, what is going on? And they, have this whole organized system where they will like unlock the cell, they open it up, these dudes all like run in and subdue the inmate to make sure.
Yikes.
I mean, most of the time it's like the guy will turn around and just like lay down, essentially.
He knows what's coming.
Yes. But every now and then I'm like, there would be some intense situations. And then you're like, are you okay? Do you have an injury?
But this is how you met your fiance. How did you guys meet in that setting?
So he, the nice thing about working in maximum security prisons specifically, I don't think this is the same at all the prisons, but you always have to have an officer with you if you're doing any kind of care for anybody. And I really appreciated that because you are working with people that have broken the law, and they're not always violent crimes, but like as a young female in an all-male prison, they haven't really seen women for a long time. It could
you
get
stand
a little,
out. You stand
you
out.
Stand
a little bit.
Out. Mm-hmm. And so my future husband, his name is Jeremy, but we all call him Fish because we went by last names in the prison. He was kind of my little escort always. Like he would take me out to all the different cells and help me with my, med calls or whatever.
Does he still escort you out and about?
Oh, yeah, he sure does.
I great. Love that.
Yeah, it was a really interesting way to meet somebody, but it was so fun because you, have that like love, protection, whatever. It's just it's a cool way to.
Well, how do you flirt in that environment? And how did he ask you out on your first date? And it's we worked together, but we're going on a date.
I know. It was a little, it took a minute for us to really, and there was a lot of like kind of trauma at the time in our lives, just in general, just personally. Mm. So there was a growing into that. And actually, I don't think we really officially started dating until we both left the prison, but there was this major love interest while we were together in the prison. And we went out a couple of times for, like a happy hour or whatever, and there's like other people, and it's like, oh, this guy's so great, and I'm just gonna like hang out kind of close to him. And but there was just so much going on at the time. Like I was in a, you know, very, very, very sadly dying marriage, and it wasn't the appropriate, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we can't dive into this yet. And mm-hmm. so there was a period of time where we didn't.
So you took your time and you feel like you did it the right way. And when are you guys getting married?
September 4th.
That's so exciting. Yeah. And Labor you guys Day. Have a little baby.
We have a little baby, and he's great, and I like him a lot.
Little fish.
Yeah, little fish. He, it's wild ride. Parenthood is so crazy. It's just the craziest thing.
So how did you get into yoga while you're, like, a nurse in a prison, and then you go to the OR, the operating room, and then you're going through your marriage. That is a slow dying.
Yeah, it was sad.
But then you have this new love interest, and then yoga is somehow in this picture.
All the things. So yoga entered my life actually right when I moved here to Boise. So I moved here in 2012, and I was a big runner, and I'm not used to, still to this day, our weather. Like in Oregon, it's gray all the time. You're going to go out on a run, it's going to be raining no matter what. And like here, it's like, I moved here and it's like 108 degrees. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then, you know, you get into winter and it's like, I think my first winter here, it was one of the worst inversions you guys have ever seen. I'm doing air quotes, but like everybody talks about how bad it is. And so I needed something that I knew was going to be a consistent, like, running was not fun in those extreme conditions. And so I went to a yoga studio. I went to Sumit's here in Boise. And I was so bad at it. I mean, not that like I'm great by any means, but it was just, you know, you can't balance on one leg. I have like, I'm the typical student with like brand new, you can tell, because I have like this raggedy mat that has, you know, stains on it and like a bath towel.
Were you wearing an oversized t-shirt and like gym shorts?
Right, exactly. And I show up and I futz through it, but I, you know, there's a energy with hot yoga that is addicting. And I was like, oh, gosh. But I feel like I accomplished something.
Yeah.
So I kept going back, and then I actually lived really close to where we're at right now. I lived a couple blocks over, and this new studio opened called Hollywood, and everybody was talking about Hollywood, and I was like, I got to try it. And so pretty quick after Hollywood opened, I started going there, and I mean, I just completely fell in love with the practice. It's interesting talking about yoga during this pandemic, because I think it's impacted so many people's practices in maybe not a great way, obviously. I mean, I have learned very quickly that I am not a home yogi. I try, but there is something about going to a sacred space, the studio, and practicing, and what that gives you. And so anyhow, all of this to say that I kind of fell in love with the practice, especially at Hollywood, and just like going through, and actually Sumit's was a nice intro as well, but just like going through this process of going to a studio and moving your body and moving with intention and breathing with intention and listening in on somebody else's words instead of listening in on the constant chatter of my brain and resting at the end. There's just this whole process that you go through that was very healing. And it's interesting because I don't like to say that I've had like a hard life, because I know people have had way harder lives than me, but I've definitely had a lot of things that have been rough, you know? Yeah. And this practice has been so therapeutic, specifically for my mental health. I think about the different, I think about like how anxious I've been in different like traumatic times in my life. And specifically with my divorce and how like awful that was. And I actually just ran into my ex-husband just a couple of days ago. It'd be so weird if he listens to this ever, but regardless, I ran into him and we're very friendly, and you know, it was a nice conversation. And you know, I think at the end of it, he was like, I think about you sometimes and I just hope you do really well in life. And it was a very kind, like thoughtful thing. But like when we were going through the stuff that we were going through, it was devastating. And I just remember the anxiety, those physical manifestations that you have with anxiety specifically. And I worked here at St. Luke's. And one day I remember thinking I was dying because I had chest pain. I was dizzy. I felt like I was going to pass out, all these things. Yes. And these are all, this was a panic attack. I'd never had one before, Yeah. And so yoga has taught me, like, I genuinely believe that it's like rewired a lot of those connections in my brain. Not to say that I don't ever get anxious anymore, because of course I get anxious still, but it has helped like navigate those waters, you know. Mm-hmm. It has helped me to figure out how to cope, in a sense, and not cope sometimes, but like really, like, how to,
it helps me just know what's happening.
Yeah,
right. So I be like, okay, your heart's beating rapidly. Mm-hmm. Your palms are sweaty. Mm-hmm. Your mind is racing. That's anxiety. And I think yoga helped me realize more body awareness,
tuning into that.
And so when I first started experiencing this body awareness, I thought I was dying all the time. Like, my hypochondria was kicking in, my anxiety was kicking in. And then I just realized, no, you're just becoming aware mm-hmm. of your emotions and your feelings. And mm-hmm. yoga just brings it all up so you can deal with it.
Absolutely. And it's funny, because when you think about it, really, from a physiological standpoint, I've been thinking about this a lot over the last like 24 hours, because it's this merriment, you know, in my life between Western medicine and a more holistic lifestyle like yoga. And I've been thinking about how probably you and me and our other fellow yogi loves have a lot less likelihood of like dying, you know, like this anxiety that you have about like, I'm going to die right now. I'm clearly going to die because my heart rate is 100 and I can't breathe correctly. And I have a headache mm-hmm. and my, you know, I have chest pain and all these things. Like, you just know that impending doom is coming. But yes. when you think about it, because of our practice, we're probably like so far away from that, you know, because we have treated our life or our bodies so well just with yoga and like the benefits
staying hydrated.
Of it.
Yeah.
Right. Flushing out toxins, yes. increasing mobility, increasing just oxygenation in your body. I was thinking about this so much the last like day. I'm like, I probably need to let go of that anxiety. You're going
to
be okay.
It's so hard.
It's so hard to do.
Easier said than done.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. Like, I'm, you know, every 6 months or so, 100% having like a brain aneurysm and dying.
Oh my gosh, you know? Heather.
It's the other thing that happens with nursing is, you know, too much about like the vasculature within your body. And
all
you're like, oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
this is it. I'm going.
Okay. So how do you balance that? How do you balance, like, you're a nurse, you see the science of everything, but then you're also a yogi and mm-hmm. you're open to like mystical experiences.
Oh, for sure. I think one of the things, you know, I think about with our population, this is kind of a sad thing to say, but it is overwhelmingly unhealthy. You know, like, the people that we are treating, the people that we are seeing, they have treated their bodies poorly. And mm-hmm. so if it helps me to know that I mean, granted, I literally pounded like half a bag of Juanitas before I came here. So I'm not like the picture of health, but I, you know, like, I'm not a big smoker. I'm not a smoker. I don't even know why I say big. I'm not a smoker. I don't smoke. I'm not abusing my body in those kinds of ways.
Yeah.
And so as far as like legitimately having anxiety about health problems, I know that I treat my body relatively well. That's not to say that I'm exempt from illness by any means, but I think for the most part, like, preventative medicine, like yoga would be considered something like preventative medicine, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're treating your body in a way that is, you're allowing it to do what it's supposed to do. You're fulfilling all of those little cells within your body's like jobs. Like, it wants to do these things.
Yeah.
It wants to stretch. It wants to move. It wants to breathe. It wants to have that challenge of, you know, the exercise, increased heart rate, whatever. It wants all of those things to continue to strengthen, to continue to be better. And so it's kind of cool to know physiologically, that from a sciencey standpoint, that by completing this practice, I am like, in a weird way, also nursing myself.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like for anxiety, mm-hmm. and for unfounded anxiety, where I know my anxious thought is not founded in any real mm-hmm. reality, but I still am exhibiting the physical symptoms. Mm-hmm. I know that if I turn to yoga, based on the science I know of yoga, if I practice deep breathing techniques, if I practice certain yoga poses that are known to stimulate my parasympathetic nervous system, mm-hmm. it's going to relax me and help me chill out. And one of the most frustrating things as a yoga teacher is if I tell someone close to me, oh, I'm just anxious right now, they'll be like, breathe. Like,
I know.
Bitch, I know.
I know.
I get paid to tell people that. Like, I know. I'm just telling you I have anxiety. Don't tell me to fix it by breathing. I know. And they're like, okay, well, let's actually do it. Mm. Oh, okay.
I can't tell you how many times I have been at home or something and I'm like, I don't know if something's just like stressing me out or I'm annoyed or whatever. And I like will breathe. Like, you know, our like big like, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you know, kind of doing that or whatever. And Fish will come by and be like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong or whatever? And I literally, my response almost always is like, I just really like breathing because it's so calming. And then again, when I start to nerd out and think about what I'm actually doing inside my body from a yeah. physiological standpoint, like I'm, you know, I'm increasing just my lung capacity and how frequently people don't do that. You know, how yes. frequently we just walk around in our little humdrum lives, just breathing the little shallow breaths.
They have oxygen bars where people are yes. getting high on oxygen, where right. you can just breathe a little bit deeper.
Yes, exactly. And all of those little cells within your body that might have been just a tiny bit malnourished all day because, I don't know, like
you've well, now I want to breathe deep.
I know, right? We should sit here
everyone,
and like,
just take a deep just breath.
Just do some breathing meditation real quick. It's so cool to think about how the two work together. And that's not to say, you know, I love my job and I love like what we do, but my job is insanely invasive. Obviously we're cutting people open to fix a problem. You know, we're Ooh. Exposing
yeah.
the things that are within our bodies to the outside world that are not supposed to be exposed to the outside world. But there are problems that need that. You know, there's a certain limit that yoga hits. And while, like, I think it's just a magical practice that is so healing, obviously mental health. I mean, we were just talking about that. And I was telling you yesterday that it's apparently studied to be one of the best mental health, like, treatments. I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, one of the best
tools.
That's a great, yes, for mental mm-hmm. health therapies and stuff is hot yoga. And but you can't, you know, yoga your way out of a aortic aneurysm, unfortunately. You can't yoga your way into a new heart valve, you know, like
that's true.
You can do a lot to help your body not need those things, but you know, genetics are genetics at some point. Or if you did inflict a lot of damage in your body in your youth with terrible diet and smoking, then sometimes that damage is just done. You come to me. Cut
great.
You open.
Great.
It's great.
I think I feel better knowing if I ever had to be cut open, there's wonderful people like you there because the idea of surgery horrifies me. Mm. The idea of being put under mm-hmm. horrifies
it's
me.
Scary.
I have a lot of control problems. Mm-hmm. I'm a Virgo. I'm mm-hmm. a type A. Mm-hmm. And so I feel a little bit better knowing that people that I meet at the studio are anesthesiologists and they are – they just make me feel more comfortable and I trust them. Whereas like I have a hard time trusting other people
totally.
To have control over me.
That's probably one of, you know, I think about how much I love my job in general and I genuinely work at a place where I learn something new every day. And that's so cool. You know, like yeah. not a lot of people I think can say that, but maybe not more than that, but about as much as I love that, I love my team. And it's so fun to work with these physicians and, you know, their PAs and the nurses and this whole crew and realize that these people that are legitimately like holding their hands, you know, inside your vessels to fix a problem, whatever that looks like. I mean, it's just like another cool, awesome human, just like you and me. Like, it's just, I mean, yes, their job is a little more intense, but they genuinely have all the same feelings, all the same anxieties, all the same desires as you and me, for the most part. I mean, there's the occasional douche, but that's in everything, right? Those people are also just everywhere.
Oh my gosh. I'm just laughing about the story you told me yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, so where's the time where you were feeling unbalanced, and how did you regain your balance? Because you're a mom, you're a fiance, you're planning this wedding, you got it going on. You work in the hospital.
It's funny. Thank you, by the way. Thank you. It's a nice compliment. I think a lot of people would probably answer that with this whole pandemic. I think that's thrown a lot of people out of balance, and myself included. And it's been really hard, you know. Again, this is for everyone. But, you know, you go from having a pretty standard practice where you're there every day as much as you can be. And I mean, for me as well, like I had a pretty big social media presence and practicing every day and doing, you know, this amazing job that I love. And my kid is going to daycare, and my fiance has two children and they're at school, all these things. And then this huge respiratory pandemic hits and everything changes, you know, like the studio, you know, closes for a minute, but then also it's like when we do open, we have all these new rules. And yes, of course I get it. Like you need to have the rules and you need to be thoughtful of the seriousness of this. And the hospital is different in that, you know, we're all dressing and wearing these different masks and whatever, and only certain people can go in these rooms. And if you, you know, are suspicious of having COVID or whatever, you have to do all these different things. And then your kids are getting sent home all the time and whatever. Oh. And then you don't get to go to the studio anymore because, you know, all of these things. And so, and social media obviously blew up because there's this, you know, coronavirus, there's a new election, there's, you know, like
killer hornets.
There's all this awareness for racism in our country. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Police brutality. There's just so much going on that I actually signed off and haven't gone back because it's too terrifying to me. But it's a really good way to handle problems is just to like ignore them. But
you do the best you can to focus on your family.
Exactly. But I will say that, and I remember this when I went through teacher training and people are kind of discussing a little bit of trauma in their life. And the thing that is always constant with yoga is that it is, no matter what you're going through, it's always there for you. Mm. Always there for you. So even though my practice isn't quite the same, and even though during that really acute season where I don't know how to handle all these children at home and I don't know how to handle this weird schedule at work, and I don't know how to handle the fact that I was so terrified of this respiratory illness that we didn't know anything about, and what if it kills me? You know, I don't know. Yeah. It's like so scary. That was when I think my awareness for my practice changed again. You know, it's like I can't go somewhere, but I can unroll my mat right here in my living room. I can have a guided, you know, practice, meditation, whatever, be in this space and bring me back to why I'm living, you know, why I'm here.
Yes.
And it's so cool. So,
so powerful.
So powerful. And I think for me, it helps a lot to kind of realign the things that need to be realigned, like helping me to let go of the fears that need to be let go of. Like, obviously, when COVID hit, you know, the first things that jump into my brain are, I work in medicine. Granted, I'm not frontline in that I'm not in the ICU, but still I work in the hospital and we see COVID patients. We see that, you know, in our department. Before we knew anything about it, I'm like, what if I get it? What if I die? What if my kid gets it? What if he dies?
Oh,
scary, right? Yeah. Like there was a part like where I was just sitting on the couch and just sobbing my eyes out because I just knew, you know, terrible. But you practice yoga, you have that, whatever happens to people when they practice yoga. For me, it's like a mental cleanse. Like my brain, all that chatter, everything that's there, everything that's attacking me, it like washes away. And you have the new things that are there that like can come in. The most important things, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I get that because I'm at the front desk mm-hmm. when I see people coming into yoga, and a lot of times people will come in and they'll just instantly take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. And some people will be like, I had all the red lights and this guy cut me off.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had a dip out of work and my boss kept trying to call me mm-hmm. on my way here. And, I'm late and, I forgot my mat. Mm-hmm. And after class, they walk out and they're a totally different person. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I'm a new human yeah. again. I'm excited to see my family.
Right.
And before I was just like, not ready to go home. I need yeah. to go to yoga. Mm-hmm.
And that's totally like kind of what the process was for me when my life was so out of whack at the beginning of the pandemic. I was so afraid of all these things. And I didn't have a great option, but I would unroll my mat in my living room or in my kitchen. And I would just start to move and I would start to breathe and I would start to tone in or zone in. Especially when we were doing like we didn't know what we were doing yet. And we're like YouTubing it and whatever. Yeah. But regardless, I needed it. And at the end of that, I was like, my path is my path. Like if I die, that sucks. But like, what am I going to do about it? Like let go of the things that you can't control, right?
Yes, that's the stuff. Let it in, let it go.
Exactly. But I totally, it's so interesting. Like I know exactly what you're talking about with people that come in and they're in that. I was in that headspace yesterday and then I left the studio. I'm like, I feel so great.
I love that feeling.
I love it. It's the best. So,
well, I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
I've been thinking about this. And so, this is the thing that kind of popped into my brain. So I think you were there, but this was years ago. We maybe did a class. Maybe you didn't do the class. I can't remember. But we were taking a class from Jamie, who's one of our fantastic teachers.
I already know.
This is the best. So I have to tell this story. So we're taking this class from Jamie. And we're probably like 10 minutes in. We're barely in our first downward dogs. And these two dudes walk in. And it's kind of disruptive, obviously, when people walk into class late. But whatever. One of them was wearing blue jeans and no shirt. And then the other guy, I think, was whatever, exercise clothes of some kind. And it was very obvious that they were in some way inebriated, whatever. I don't know, under some kind of influence. And, you know, whatever. Jamie, an actress, the most wonderful yogi presence ever that can just suck you into her classes, just carries on like nothing's going on. She's just doing amazing. We move through this kind of disruptive practice, and one of the guys at one point I remember we're like sitting down and he like is standing up, literally having his own dance party on his mat. And then one guy like 10 minutes after that just leaves, and then he came back after the fact with a different outfit on.
I know.
And then anyhow, like yeah, he totally needed a costume change mid-class. Finally, we were done. It was so, like, hilarious the whole time.
One guy kept saying, it's hot. Yeah, it's hot. Yeah. And Jamie's like, I know. Just lay down on your mat. He wouldn't lay down. He'd just be like, it's hot. And, like, looking around.
Yeah. So, finally, like, we finished the class. Whatever. We're leaving. I'm like, Jamie, are you okay? I think I was asking you, too. Like, are you okay? Like, should, like, we call someone? I don't know. Everybody leaves. And I asked Jamie about it, like, the next day or something. And she's like, yeah, they came here because they said they needed to detox because they were getting drug tested, like, the next day or something like that.
Yes.
And so, yeah, if you ever need to detox, just come to high yoga.
So this is really funny, too, because they went to the Boise Co-op.
Oh.
And they were looking for detox stuff. And if you're a Boise Co-op member, your first class at Hollywood is free.
Oh,
and so they were saying, if you're a member of the co-op, which – they didn't strike me as members of the co-op.
But they were.
You have to pay for a membership. Yeah. But they're like, we get a free co-op class. And I'm like, dude, you deserve it. For sure. For sure.
Wearing your blue jeans.
You're doing blue jeans and yoga. Like, it's hot. And so afterwards, they were telling me and Jamie, like, yeah, we got this drug test coming up. We heard this is a great way to detox. We heard about you guys from the co-op. And I was like, thank you, co-op, for referring us.
So great.
They never came back.
No.
But,
too hot.
That class goes down in history.
It's one of my favorite things ever. So that's what I got. Overheard at yoga.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
You just made my day.
Oh,
I always love our chats at the studio at the desk. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. That's great.
Attention Idaho and California residents. If you're shopping for a mortgage, contact PacFi. a mortgage brokerage with the top wholesale lenders in the nation. They are committed to simplifying the mortgage process, saving you time and money. Call 858-442-7048 or visit pacfi.com. NMLS number 1462943, Equal Housing Lender. Need help growing your business? It's what you don't know that will cost you. Tulu Peer Advisory Groups is here for every stage of business growth. Find out more at talloo.com. Welcome to the Treasure Valley and Boise, the City of Trees. As one of the fastest growing areas in the entire nation, finding the right home is only as important as finding the right realtor. And who better in the Treasure Valley than Regina Collins, Realtor. Licensed in both Idaho and California and self-employed since 1999, Regina Collins prides herself on a strong business and marketing background. With years of experience owning and operating full-staff businesses, Regina Collins is ready to work for you. Specializing in relocation, veterans and military families, listings, buyers, commercial, new homes, contingencies, and solar, Regina Collins is able to offer the whole package for her buyers. Whether you are new to Boise, want a better lifestyle for you and your family, or just want to get to know this area better, Regina Collins is honored to help you with this process. For more, visit reginaforhomes.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.